care who teach you how to sing. If you're not united, it won't sound good. The community have to be united. If not, we're not going, we all, I like you, you like me, and then we'll be going around in circles. How long? The Bible says you've been compassing around this mountain for too long. It's time to move forward. In conclusion, verse 28, it talks about the spider. You know what the Bible says about the spider? If you want to get wisdom, consider the spiders. They lay hold, and they never let go. What happens to them? They end up where? King's palace. When I say I pray, I see you at the top, I'm talking about the palace. I'm talking about the king's palace. When I look at you, I see kings and queens. I see people anointed, appointed, and destined for greatness. But how are we going to go there? You got to have tenacity. Once you get a dream, once you get a vision, you lay hold of your vision, you don't let go. Sometimes the devil will sweep at you. That's what we do. In my house in Africa, I got a big two-story building with many rooms because I was trying to carry all my brothers and my sisters. And bless God, spiders will come. Joy, you've been there as a little child. She knows. But those American kids, they don't like my house. I got a big mansion, but they don't like the spider. So my wife would get up early in the morning and swipe those spiders. But amazingly, before you come back at night, the spider would have built new webs. You know what? There's a lesson there. There's nothing you can do to talk that spider out of his dream, out of his vision. The Bible says he lay hold of that vision and eventually he ends in the king's palace. There are many people under the sound of my voice. God has destined you for greatness. The only question is, are you going to quit along the way? The only question, are you going to give up?
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
That God has found with to give us today comes from my most favorite passage in the Bible, Mark 11:22. And Mark 11:22 says, where are you, Christian Love? In Nehemiah 8:5, you will find these words written, that when the word of God was read, they all stood. That gave reverence to God and to God's word. That is why we do it. In Nehemiah 8:5, you'll find that. I want to read where God has given us to come from today. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. I want to talk to you today about unfailing faith. I know somebody's standing there waiting, well, where's the rest of the passage? That's it. If you will notice, first of all, the grass will wither, the flower it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. If you will notice, the grammatical point behind God It is a period. Now, when we go back to school, we'll discover that where there is a semicolon, that means that the train of thought keeps going. Where there is a comma, it means that there will be a yielding point. But when you see a period,
come on,
it means that's just it. That the author simply says that the train of thought stops right there. In this particular text, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes, sir.
Because he says, in every situation, everything that you face, in every trial that you go through, in every tribulation and circumstance that you might encounter, just have faith in God. We should be able to give the benediction right there. It means in those trials, in those tribulations, in those situations, you often have to remind yourself of who God is. Don't fool yourself. I know that many of us are super Christians and we've been in Christianity for years. But when we are in the midst of that storm, we have to remind ourselves who God is. And let me tell you, sometimes when we can't remind ourselves, God does it for us. Can I help three people? God will often employ the devil to remind you. He'll hire him and put him on payroll to remind you who he is. God will use sometimes whatever means that are necessary to show you that he is God. I know that I have at least three witnesses in the house, because there are times in your life to where God has allowed the situation to go from bad to worse. To get you, yes, sir, to know, yes, sir, that he is God. Preacher Evan Turner. You even said it. You've said it. You've said it. Don't fool yourself. You said it. You said it can't get any worse than this. And just as you say it, the situation takes a turn for the worse. You said it, you said it, you said it. If it ain't one thing, it's another. God sometimes will allow things to get at their lowest point before he comes. Let me take a minute to bring it up to the text. Text here, Jesus actually comes in to Jerusalem. This is the 11th chapter of Mark. Mark records this particular event in his own way. You have to understand the Gospels. The Gospels are written by four different writers who saw the same thing in a different way. I know that sounds almost like a paradox, but they saw the same thing and recorded it a different way, but it was the same person and same things that they saw. Jesus now makes a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and as he gets there, the first thing that he does in Mark that he doesn't do in Matthew is he curses the fig tree. Some would say, I wonder what did the fig tree do to Jesus for him to curse it? The fig tree, first of all, was an inanimate object, but yet it was supposed to have life in it, and it was not producing fruit. Beautiful limbs, beautiful leaves, but no fruit. I'm coming down somebody's alley. Christians are supposedly to be Christians, have nice hats, have nice clothes, cars, houses, jobs, families, and everything. Talk the church lingo. They are beautiful, beautiful limbs, beautiful leaves, but isn't producing any. Wasn't producing any fruit, wasn't giving any love, wasn't producing mercy, wasn't giving any grace, wasn't giving words of encouragement, wasn't lifting anybody up, wasn't helping anybody get up, wasn't helping anybody with anything. Always negative, always downing, always gossiping, always hating. And so Jesus says, no. Look good. Know all of the hymns. Know that the Lord will make a way. I mean, first of all, giving God the glory, who is the head of my life. Know all of the lingo, but no. Well, here's something that caught, confined, and captivated my attention, because this particular fig tree had been getting by for a long time, but on this particular day, Jesus just happened to be there. Had been getting away with beautiful leaves, beautiful limbs, had been getting away for a long time. In fact, it looked real good to folk. But Jesus was the one who noticed that there was no fruit. Can I help three people today? You can look as good as you want. You can go to the biggest church and you can get in the biggest clique in that church. But one day Jesus gonna come by and notice. Notice other folk will say, child, that's the best worker in the church. Beautiful leaves. Child, she sang better than anybody. Beautiful limbs. No fruit. So Jesus comes into town. Jesus noticed in this particular passage that there was no fruit. Also, Jesus was taking this moment to take his disciples, which was the church, to take them from the laboratory to the field. They had to come out of the laboratory. They had to come out. Now they had to go out into the world. The church has to come out of this shell. You're in the laboratory right now. But soon you will have to go out into the field. How to notice. And so Jesus goes there, and so now the next thing that Jesus does in this particular passage is he cleans the temple. He cleaned the temple. He cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit. Now he goes to the temple and clean it out. Somebody said, the Lord is getting his house in order. There was some folk that was in the temple. I like the account that Matthew gave, because Luke. Luke says that outside of the temple was the lame. The inside was the thieves. Jesus had to go to the temple first of all to get the thieves out, so the sick and the lame could get. I wish I had three believers. Sometimes in the Lord's house, don't y'all better listen to what I'm saying. Don't be like the folk that went to church and prayed that the devils would leave, and they left. Don't be like that. Sometimes, in order for the sick and the lame to come into the house of the Lord, sometimes the thieves have to leave.
Teach us something here.
I don't want to make nobody mad. I don't want nobody mad with me. Can I? Preach, Reverend Turner. I don't want nobody to be mad with me. I need some friends. I've lost a bunch of them in the last couple of weeks, so I need some more. Sometimes, in order for the Lord to do his work inside of these earthen vessels, which is the temple of God, it has to be cleaned out. That's why you throw up sometimes. That's why you have to have your mother used to every year around April and May, they would give you what castor oil. We used to wonder why she would give it to us. Didn't taste good, didn't smell good, but it cleaned. It was uncomfortable. I wish I had three believers that know that it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. You couldn't even rest with it. You couldn't lay down. You couldn't sit up. You couldn't get off guard. But notice that it cleaned you out. And after a few days, you feel old stuff had to be taken out so new things could be. I'm gonna have a single friend when I leave here today. Watch this. Jesus curses the fig tree.
when I looked at this passage, there was a number of things that happened, Marvin, because he curses the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit, cleans the temple because you had thieves and robbers in there, and they had misused. Wait a minute. First of all, you need to know that some things have to leave out of the temple, and I wondered why Jesus went to the temple, because the temple was the place of worship and the place where the Holy Spirit was supposed to dwell. Can I help three people today? In case you wasn't here Wednesday night, you will learn that your body is the temple of the Lord. Your body is a replica of the temple that was built. You see, the temple that was built, that Solomon built, was really a replica of the body that God had already created in Genesis 1 and 26 and in Genesis 2 and 7. Preach, Reverend Turner. God never does anything new. I wish I had three believers. He created a body in Genesis 2 and 7, and he created a temple as a replica to that body. And when he filled that body in 2 and 7 with the Holy Spirit, which he breathed into and gave it the living, are you with me yet? The Holy Spirit went into that body. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 6, you will come to discover when Solomon built the temple, the same Spirit that went into man in Genesis 2 and 7 is the same Spirit that went into that. So therefore, the Holy Spirit, this is why you can't clutter and clusterfy. Yo, the clusterfy is a word. That if it isn't, I just created it. You can't clutter and clusterfy your body with any and everything that comes along. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got an occupant inside of there. Somebody is in there, and that person that's in there is the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, and he don't want to live in no nasty house. I wish I had three believers. You don't want to live in no nasty house, and the Holy Spirit, he doesn't want to live in a nasty one either. That's why every Tuesday and Friday, I take the garbage out. Your garbage day, our spiritual garbage day, supposed to be every day. Take the garbage out. Get the garbage out on Monday morning. Get the garbage out on Tuesday. I wish I had three believers. Get the garbage out on Wednesday morning, because Tuesday night you got some garbage in you and you need to. Shoot, I'm going to preach myself happy. Listen. So watch this. And so now they go to Jesus and they said, Jesus, the disciples go to him and say, "What? Well, we saw the fig tree. We saw the temple. What's really going on here?" Because when they get back, now the fig tree has withered. And they said, "Okay, Jesus, what's really going on here? What is it that you want us to learn?" Are you with me yet? You see, a lot of times we have to stop asking Jesus why and start asking Jesus what. Somebody didn't get that. You see, when we are seeing things, when the Lord is doing things in our lives, we are too busy asking the Lord why. There's three questions we ask the Lord: why me, why now, why this? Watch this. So they go to Jesus and they ask him, "Well, what's the deal here? What is it that you want us to understand and you want us to learn?" Watch this. The Lord says, "I want you to learn how to have faith in God." I had to show you first. I had to deal with this fig tree. Then I had to deal with the folk in the temple. Notice he went in the temple, and cleaning the temple wasn't an easy thing to do, because you had folk in there that was actually making money off of other folk. And when people are making a living off of other people, running them off ain't easy. Somebody's not getting it yet. Y'all don't live around the drug corners. You ain't just going to run a drug dealer off just by talking about it. You're not going to run them folk off that's selling drugs to our children and giving them alcohol that's underage and selling them cigarettes. Y'all know who I'm talking about. They're not just going to leave easy. They're making an abundance of money. And so Jesus said, if I can do that, then you need to know who's my source. He says, I want you to simply have faith in God. Here, you got to understand, to have faith in God, you got to know that, first of all, you are a Christian. Are you with me yet? Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a believer. First of all, for you to be a Christian, just hold that. For you to be a Christian, the believer, the believer must believe and must understand. Bring my first point. The believer has to know that when you are going through this, somebody say unfailing faith. Touch your other neighbor. Say, neighbor, we got to have unfailing faith. Come on now, because I'm about to leave here in just a minute. You see, first of all, you have to understand that faith is the substance of things. I know you quote it all of the time, but what exactly is it? Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. So therefore, if you have faith, no, leave it where it is. Therefore, if you have faith, you know that God will come.
Yes, he will.
You don't have any doubts. No matter how bad things may get, faith is there. The Christian, first of all, to have unfailing faith, this is a faith that will not crumble and will not fail at a time that you need it. Everybody with me? The Christian, the believer, the Christian have to know, the Christian have to believe. When you have unfailing faith, is to know and believe that God will come to your rescue.
Amen.
That he will rescue you when you're in trouble. That ought to be somebody shouting right there. Jesus was showing his disciples that no matter what happens, God will rescue you when you're in trouble. Here's what you got to prove it. In Psalms 50 and 15, see, these are my favorite. This is what you have to learn to lean on. In Psalms 50 and 15, this is a scripture that should take you throughout your life. When you have the darkest time, y'all better write these things down. Y'all better start coming to church with some pencil and paper, because in 50 and 15, Psalms 50 and 15, God tells you, he said, call upon me when you're in trouble. He says, and I'll deliver you that thou shalt glorify. Now, he didn't tell you how he was going to deliver you. He didn't tell you when he was going to deliver you. He said that he will. Here's the problem with us. We have too much worked out for God. I want you to work it out. The minute trouble comes, I want you to zap, get me out of it. Sometimes you got to learn something from this. You got to cry sometimes in order for God to let you know that you still can cry. You got to hurt sometimes to let God let you know that you have feelings. I wish I had some believers here. God says, watch this, sometimes it takes a while for the truth to come out. Sometimes it takes a while for things to get better. God wants you to get stronger while you're in the storm, not stronger after your storm.